thank you that you are a God of love. And Lord, as we reflect on our own personal circumstances, we have so much to be grateful for. As we watch videos and clips like that, God, it reminds us that we have so much. So this morning, we want to continue to respond to you and to respond to your love. We're joined with many people around, not just our community, but around the world, in asking that your love would be released in practical and real ways to those people who need it today. And God, as we listen to Dave speak to us, God, I pray that you would speak right into our situations too. That you'd speak into our hearts and our minds this morning. That you'd cut through the things that maybe are a distraction to us this morning, that you would speak directly to us. Help us, we pray. And Lord, we ask for Dave real clarity as he speaks to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Dave, shall we?
Good. Is this on okay? Good. It got Martha'd a bit during the worship, I'm afraid. So apologies if it doesn't come back how you gave it to me. Good. I just want to reiterate something that Jill said about, you know, if you feel that you need somebody just to pray through something with you, or you just need a bit of support, this is a great place to do that. And I was struck by something. I'm going to say this very carefully. By a couple that I saw in church a few weeks ago, and I've left it a few weeks to share it in case they felt embarrassed because they knew that I was looking at them, and I'm not looking at anybody. But during the worship, there was a couple, and he was stood behind her, and he just had his arms around her. And the Holy Spirit just said, that's an expression of church. That is an expression of how I put my arms around you. You know, and the Bible talks a lot about that sort of level of relationship that we have with him. And when Jill said that this morning, I thought that was an appropriate time just to share that. And that actually we can feel a sense of safety. We can feel like we've got our man, our protector around us, with his arms around us. And so actually this is a really safe place. This is a great place to be this morning. I love coming to church and being part of the body. And obviously it's not just on a Sunday morning that we are part of the body. Church isn't it, but this is a great expression of coming together, of being able to support each other and actually being able to invest in each other, so that actually when we go out and we've all got our own front lines where God's using us and where we are being salt and light, this is the place where we can retreat and we've got some safety. And so that's good. If you're in that place this morning, you're in a good place, and just make use of the great people that are around. Now, this morning, I am going to spend a few minutes looking at Jesus being our hope and looking at what hope is. A lot of you have got different ideas of what that is. Some of you are probably already thinking, I hope he doesn't go on too long. Some of you are thinking, I really hope this is interesting this morning. Well, don't tell me at the end, even if it's not. I don't want to know. But, you know, we see hope a lot in society, in the world around us. And it seems to me that there's two different extremes of hope around. One is the rather wishful thinking hope, isn't there? You know, we often say to our kids, oh, what do you hope to get for Christmas? That kind of thing. And there was a child once who was saying her prayers at bedtime with her mum, and it was coming up close to Christmas, and she said, yeah, Jesus, I thank you that you're my friend. Thank you that you look after me. And I really pray that doll that I want from Toys R Us, I get for Christmas. Amen. And the mum said, you really don't need to shout because God isn't deaf. And she said, yeah, I know, but Grandma is. And sometimes when we talk about hope, it's really rather wishful thinking that's driving us with our hope. Like the time several years ago, and I'm a lot wiser now, when on the farm, we had, now as you know, what are the two things? Now this will test your farming knowledge that I've imparted to those of you who have heard me before. What do sheep like to do? Escape and die. And if they can do the same thing in one fell swoop, they have a smile on their face. They really do. Anyway, this sheep, when I went down to check them, it had escaped and it had died on the other side of the brook. So I thought, brains here. I'll go back up to the farm. I'll get a long ladder. I'll stick it across the two banks. I'll crawl over and then I'll sort of drag it back as I crawl back over. I hoped that the ladder would hold. It was ill-founded hope. Because halfway across, that soft bit of bank that I hoped was not soft proved its point, and I ended up in the brook. And I'm sure that that sheep chuckled. I'm sure it did. Anyway, I like to give them that enjoyment satisfaction. But anyway, the Bible talks about hope rather a lot. And biblical hope is rather different from world's hope. Now, in 1 Timothy, we see hope. I don't know, some of these might be up. We'll just flash them up quickly. So 1 Timothy, what have we got there? 4:10, yeah. Yeah, you can read it. I'll not get distracted by that. But it talks about us having put our hope in the living God. And right at the start of that letter that's written, the opening verses talks about Jesus Christ being our hope. And then into Acts chapter 2, and we can read that one. I saw the Lord always before me, because at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also will rest in hope. So this hope thing seems to come at various different angles. It affects physically our bodies. It affects who we put our hope in, i.e. Jesus Christ. So biblical hope, how does that differ from the hope that we experience out in the world? Well, biblical hope is not a kind of hope-so, maybe thing, but it's a no-so. That's the difference. It's not wishful thinking. It's based on something, based on knowledge and based on fact. It's not hoping that something may happen, and it's not that something might be possible. Biblical hope, there's a lot more certainty. There's a lot more, it's a lot more definite. Biblical hope is an absolute knowledge of the facts. Now, if you ever look in Hebrews, if you've got Bibles, Hebrews 11. Just the opening verses of this chapter, just before the writer of this. Do you know, we're not entirely sure who actually did write Hebrews, but they wrote some great stuff. There's various theories. You can go and look at that yourself sometime. But before this chapter goes into some of the great people of faith, he says this. Might have been a she, actually. Yes. True faith is being sure of the hope we have, and being certain that we shall see what has been promised, even though we do not see these things at present. This is the kind of faith for which God commended former believers. Hope and faith are very closely tied and linked together. But this hope that we talk about is having an absolute certainty, an absolute knowledge and understanding that what has been said, or what has been promised, is going to come to be and is true. So biblical hope is actually grounded in truth. And it's the truth of the Word of God that we get that hope from. If you just flick back into chapter 6, I just want to look at this a little bit more detail. Verse 13, it says this. God gave Abraham his solemn promise on his own honour, for there was no one greater by whom he could swear. that he would be faithful. He said, without doubt, I will bless you and give you many descendants. After waiting patiently, Abraham saw the promise fulfilled. When men make solemn promises, they swear by someone greater than themselves. By taking an oath, they confirm that what they have said is true and beyond any argument. Why should God make his promises on oath? Because he wanted to make absolutely clear that his purposes never change. It is clear to all his children that he is faithful in keeping his word, because he confirmed his promises by taking an oath. He chose to do this for our sakes, so that we would know for certain that God would never lie, and that his promises are utterly dependable. It is simply not possible for God to lie, because he is the truth. We have left behind the deceptiveness of the world and have taken hold of the sure and certain hope of what lies ahead. And this should cause us to be greatly encouraged. This hope of what awaits us in the future is a firm anchor for our souls. This truth keeps us secure and means that we have access directly into the Holy of Holies, God's very presence. We can pass through the curtain that was torn apart when Jesus went before us through death and into the glory of resurrection. He did all of this on our behalf as our high priest, an eternal high priest in the line of Melchizedek. Now, there's some really useful things in there. The first is that God does not lie. Now, we know that because he's a perfect God. But it's just underlining the fact here that when God says something, it is true because he does not lie. And that actually means that everything in the word of God is true. So when we declare that the word of God is true, then we know that it's true because it's not possible for God to lie, and he's inspired all of this. So that's a good starting point for our hope, because our hope is in something that is true. Our hope is in the truth. It talks about being sure and certain of what lies ahead. Now, we don't know exactly what will happen tomorrow. We don't know whether we'll make all the green lights on our way to work. We don't know whether the milk will be off at breakfast time. We don't know if we're going to have a good day. We don't know if we're going to have a bad day. And and some of those things are just life things that we just get on with. But there are certain things that are important to do with the future. And all of that is in here. There's a lot of stuff in here that tells us about what life is going to be like down the line. And that is when we know that that is true, when we really got our heads around the fact that that is truth, and we really believe it and know it, then that is where the hope comes from. It's not that, well, I hope that... I was talking to somebody years ago, in fact, that we were talking... They're not a Christian, but we were talking about what happens when you die. And she said this, which was quite interesting to where she was at. She said, well, I believe that if there is a God, then he's a God of love, and because he's a God of love, I'll be all right, because he wouldn't send me to hell. And it was interesting because she was hoping, wishful thinking, hoping, a bit of an insurance policy hope, that actually, if she's got this thing wrong, that there's going to be a plan B for her. But she didn't know that. She wasn't certain of that, because she said, if. And when we really know the truth, when we know the promises of God, when we know that what he said and what he says is true and it is going to happen, then we're in a really secure place. Does that make sense? You know, we're no longer saying, well, if such and such, then that will happen. It's having that absolute certainty. also in there, it says that should encourage us. Actually, that is really encouraging, isn't it? That's really encouraging. If we're in a place where we really know what the Word of God says, and really know what the Word of God says about us and about our future and about how things are going to be, then we should be really encouraged, because it's really great stuff. Some of the things we've been singing this morning have been brilliant. There's been a lot of truth. There's been a lot of truth in the songs that we've sung that declared who God is, but have also declared who we are. In fact, what Jill was reading was talking about how God has lavished love on us because we are His children. That is a great truth. That is a great truth. And I think sometimes the devil will come in and he will try and undermine truth in believers, and he will try and cause us to doubt that truth. You know, do you really think that God loves you that much? Do you really feel like you're a child of God? Do you really feel like you're an heir of all the things that God wants to give you? And sometimes we can be in a place where we start to doubt God's word. And then when that happens, our hope is shaken, because our hope is shifted into the wrong place. And it becomes misplaced into more of a hope so maybe, rather than a sure and certain hope. It's a good analogy about an anchor in there. Let me read it. I'm reading from a different version from what's up here. It's the Truth version. So I find it a very helpful one. It's a good one. Come on, have a look at it sometime if you like. This hope of what awaits us in the future is a firm anchor for our souls. I love that analogy. You know, I mean, if I'm honest, I'm quite fearful of the sea. I have been out on boats and they've been all crashing up and down, and I'd much prefer to be on solid ground. But you've got a vessel there that is at the mercy of rough seas, and yet an anchor in the right place is going to hold that ship. Interestingly, though, in a rough sea, it might not hold it steady. You might still be a bit seasick, probably quite a lot, because it's still going to jostle and move about and things like that. But it's safe, it's secure, it's not going anywhere. It's a good analogy of life, isn't it? You know, things happen. You know, we are not promised. Don't ever get buy into the fact that if you're a Christian, life's great, you're going to have money in the bank, you're never going to be sick, blah, 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 blah. God wants to bless us. You know, God wants us to have good health. God does heal us. All that kind of stuff happens, but we're not guaranteed that we're not going to have hardship. We're not going to, you know, we're not guaranteed that we're going to be 100% healthy, all those kind of things. That is the stuff of life. But what is sure and what is certain is that when we're rooted in God, all of those situations, all of those difficult situations that we're buffeted about by life with, that if our anchor is in Him, we're not going to go anywhere. We might feel a bit we might feel a bit sick and all that kind of thing, but we are safe. Yes, we have an anchor, and it's a great, absolute great truth. So these are some of the, these are just some of the truths I'm just sort of bunging in, but this is where biblical hope is when you know the truth, then your hope is very different to that of the world. This truth keeps us secure. Talks about us being secure. How many of you would think, you know, actually there's times in my life where people could have described me as being insecure? I mean, if I'm honest, there's plenty of times, even now, I confess, you know, there's things I feel insecure about that I'm working on, that God's reminding me on and challenging me, you know, man up over that. Because you don't need to be insecure about it. But actually, if we're taking hold of the truth, if we're really taking hold of the truth, then, and if our hope is in Him, then we become a lot more secure. We become a lot more secure in ourselves as people, and a lot more secure in where our future lies. So have a flick over into Romans chapter 8. And from verse 15, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to stop at points. But what I want you to try and do as I'm reading it is try and put yourself as the recipient of this. So whoever's written this was Paul, is actually writing it to you. So I want you to try and get into that mindset as I read it. So from verse 15, and again, it's probably different to what's on the screen. You can use that if that's helpful, but if you just want to listen to what I'm saying, that's great. So when he came to live in you, he did not lead you back to your past life, making you a slave of fear again. No, you received the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. You can call him Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children, to know this deep in our hearts. For if we know that we are his children, then we know that also we are his heirs. Yes, we are heirs of God and inherit all of his blessings along with Christ. We may have to face cost in being obedient to him, but this is only so that we will share eternally in his glory. So that's a truth that's presented to us, that we are children of God, that we actually belong to him. We're not just associates, we're not just part of the club, we're not just members. We are actually God's children. We are actually family members. I just want you to let that sink in for a minute and ask yourself, actually, do I at this moment in time really believe that? Do I actually feel that at the moment? And and it's not meant to be a heavy thing. It's just let's just have a look at where we're at. Because actually, if you're in a place at the moment that you're actually just struggling with that, that's okay. So this is a great place just to look at truths and look at where they fit and where they sit in our lives, and just allow the Holy Spirit to move that. But let's just be honest with ourselves. Am I in a place where actually do I really feel like a family member? I mean, I love the analogy of the sort of royal family, because I think that kind of helps me look at my relationship with Jesus. Because there you see a well-known family that, everybody would love to, whether they like them or not, would love to sort of spend time with them and get to know them. And we look at them, but we know that we're not one of them. We know that, really, we're probably below stairs people, as much as I hate to admit it. But do you know what I mean? But we're not. The closest I could ever get is landing a job working in one of the households where I might get to, I don't know, make them a cup of tea or something, and I'd be happy with that. But if I was to marry into the family, I would all of a sudden be one of them, only by marriage. If I was born into the family, I would have different status again. And when it comes to the family of God, sometimes I think Christians fall into the deception that I'll be happy just to serve, and to sort of earn my way in. I don't really feel good enough. I don't feel valuable enough. I don't think I've got enough to offer. But actually, the truth is that we are all family members. We're all there on the top table, and we're all heirs. It says we're co-heirs with Christ Himself. That puts us into a position of position. We are family members, sons and daughters of the living God. So when that comes to hope, where does that sit with hope? Well, that hope is, that is me saying, do you know what? Yeah, I know my faults, and other people know them probably better than I do as well. But my Bible says that I am a son of the living God. That puts me in a place of position. And when I start to get to really know what that means, it changes my perception of life. It changes my perception of what I think I can do and what I think I can achieve, because I've suddenly got the knowledge there that gives me the hope that that I can do a whole pile more. Does that make sense? Are you with me on that? Does that make sense? Yeah? If it doesn't, you can always ask, because that's obviously the right answer to shout on a situation like this. But you don't have to. You can shout out if you want to. Badim? You're all upper class. Well, that's great, because I can just come and just rub along with you, and I'll benefit you, you'll benefit me. But I can be posh. Now you can see why I consider my current predicament as a minor inconvenience compared... That's not directed at that comment, by the way. As a minor inconvenience compared with the wonderful glory that will be revealed in us. Why, even creation itself is in suspense, longing for God's sons to reveal who they are. You see, it was his will that his purposes for his creation would be frustrated until this happens. People did not choose this frustration for themselves. It was imposed on them by God, because creation can only be liberated from bondage, from the death principle that we see at work all around us, by being brought into the liberty that God's children enjoy because they know and reflect his glory. Everywhere around us, it seems that creation is groaning, just like a woman about to give birth. There is even a sense in which we believers are also groaning inwardly. Even though we know the Spirit is already at work within us, we long for the time when we will go to be with the Lord as his sons, when we experience the resurrection of our bodies. This is the hope we have because of the salvation we have received. You cannot see now that for which you hope, because hope refers to what lies in the future. If we could experience what we hope for, that would not be true hope. How can anyone say he already has what he hopes for? No, we have to wait patiently for what God has promised in the future. So here we've got somebody looking into the future saying, do you know what, this is an inconvenience. This life that I'm in now is not great. I've got a body that doesn't work. You know, the older we get, the more we realise that things are not perfect. There's trouble around us. There's the hassle of life that comes up and all the challenges that is. So actually, he's got his head around the fact that, what we've got now is not perfect. But what he's also got his head around the fact is something that he can't physically actually see at this moment in time. And what is that thing? He's got his head around the fact that there's coming a day where he will be with Jesus in heaven. He's got his head around the fact that one day he will have a perfect body. There's coming a day where he will 100% reflect the glory of God. And that is a great thing, you know. And he's like, wow, that is amazing. That is so exciting that that God has put me in a position where I'm a child of God, where I'm a co-heir, and I've got all that great stuff that is going to happen. And he's not writing in a, you know, this is a really great thing. Really hope it happens, etc., etc. He's saying, "Oh no, this is something worth getting excited about. This is what I'm hope. This is where my hope lies." And even though I'm here at this moment in time, even though this isn't as good as what's to come, I'm going to live out my purpose now, and I'm going to be driven by the hope that I have in what's to come to impact and affect the now. And that's really important. That's really important to get our heads around. Is the fact that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Yes, it is. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. You could put that one up. But Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to be teaching about the Holy Spirit, and he describes the Holy Spirit as a deposit, or as a guarantee. And what that means, what we actually have, when we become born again, and when we have the Holy Spirit in us, The Holy Spirit is like a deposit. Now you know how deposits work. You know, you buy something, but before you take full possession of it, you put a deposit down. But the rest has to be paid up later. Or even like an engagement ring. You know, you buy an engagement ring, and that engagement ring goes on your fiancé's hand, and it says to everybody, "Hands off, she's mine." Nearly. And for that period of engagement, while that engagement ring is on, that is a period of time where it is stated, it is known that those two people are going to get married, and the best is yet to come in that relationship. There's a completeness in the marriage. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit in those terms, we have received a bit of a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. When you put a deposit down, you're guaranteeing you're going to make the other payment. God is saying to us, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you know, when who gets excited when the Holy Spirit starts doing a whole pile of stuff?
Yeah?
Hey, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, sometimes, and it doesn't always happen like all the time, every day, but sometimes, you know, in here, we've had some great times where people have just been released, we've had words of knowledge, we've had healings, we've had prophecies, we've had all those kind of things, and you think, wow, this is, and it really motivates, inspires, and excites us because God is doing stuff. But what God is saying is, that's a little bit. That's just a little bit. That's part of the deposit. That's showing the world that what you're going to become, that is guaranteeing to everybody else that the best is yet to come. And you know, we love it. We love it when God does the dramatic and does all of that kind of thing. And we love it as well when we get our heads around the fact, some of the facts and the truths about who we are in Him. And we feel released, and we deal with issues, and we become more bold. All those truth things we get really excited about. But God is saying, do you know what? There's something even better to come. There's something even better to come. You know, when I've completed everything, when you're with me in glory, it's going to be so much better. And that's incredible, isn't it? That's really incredible. But you know, when we get our heads around that, around that fact, our hope it becomes more in line with biblical hope. Yeah, and it changes, or certainly has the power to change, how we approach this that we've got. You know, this world that we're living in, because we know that there's something even greater to come. And I just want to challenge us a little bit this morning. That video clip was really good, wasn't it? I don't know what kind of sort of thoughts or emotions that might have, turned up in you. But here's a guy who's got a vision for some pretty rough scenarios and situations, and what he's essentially doing is he is bringing hope into hopeless situations or scenarios, seemingly. And he's got hold of and he's grasped something of the fact that, do you know what, a lot of people don't have hope, a lot of people don't have the hope that I have, but because I know who I am in Christ, because of all the great stuff that God does in me and through me, actually, I can bring something of real hope to the world around me. And I can interject hope into some very difficult scenarios and situations. And I just want to challenge us on two levels this morning. One, where actually is my hope? Where is my hope this morning? Have I actually struggled with some of the truth? Because hope is being certain of the truth and of the facts. And if you're in a place this morning where actually, you know, you have struggled a little bit with some of the truths in the Bible, you've struggled to believe them for yourself, you've struggled to really get them and connect with them, well, that's a good starting point. Because actually, if we're honest, I've discovered the best thing to do is to be honest with God. Because once we're honest, he can start gently doing what he does and bringing us to the right place. But if you're in a place this morning where there's sort of things that you've really struggled to believe that are in the Bible and applying them to yourself, then, well, let's just take a few moments towards, you know, as we worship a bit, just to realign those with God. Just to say, yeah, look, I am struggling with that. Help me. You know, that's the easiest thing to do, actually, is just to be honest and say, do you know what, I need help. I need help to take that on board. I need help to believe that. I need help. We get into, or too often, in our age, in our culture, whatever, we all too easily get into the trap of believing that if it feels right, do it. And that decision making, even spiritually, is based on feelings. Janet last week was talking about freedom. One of the things that she was talking about was forgiveness. A classic example, the truth in the word is that if you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive. And we get into the trap of, well, I don't feel like forgiving, so therefore I can't forgive. Well, it's not about whether you feel it or not. It's about a decision. It's about a fact. Do I forgive you or don't I? Sometimes you have to just keep doing it and the feelings catch up later. And it's the same with things that we grapple with truths in the Bible. We have to be in a point where we say, do you know what, I don't fully understand that, I don't fully get it, but because I know that God is not a liar, and because I know that everything in the Bible is truth, I'm just gonna make the decision that I'm gonna run with it. I don't get it at the moment. I struggle to live it out, but I'm gonna try. But Holy Spirit, I just need some help with that. I just surrender that to you, and I'm gonna keep doing it. Every time I find that a bit difficult, I'm going to surrender that to you. And if you're in a place this morning where actually the Holy Spirit's just stirring up, reminding or pointing out things that where you perhaps struggle to really put your hope in what's to come or in who you are in him, just because of things that you're just struggling to really get or to believe or whatever, then just confess them. You know, just say, yeah, God, I'm struggling with that this morning, but I want help. I want help. And that's a good starting point. But the other thing I want to really challenge is, and I'm challenging myself with all of this stuff as well, you know, it's all part of the journey for all of us. What hope am I bringing to my world? What hope are you bringing to your world? You know, we've said, as I said at the start, you know, we've all got our own front lines. You know, God has placed you where he's placed you for reasons. But because I know the truth, because I know that the future is bright, because I know all the great stuff of who I am in him, freedom it brings, the position it brings in him, what am I doing in the world around me to make a difference? What am I doing to bring some of that hope? You know, some of the people that I can bring hope to might never decide that they want to follow Jesus. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. You know, that's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people. Our job is to be in this world while we're here and to make a difference. And when the love of God is moving in us and driving us and motivating us, when we start bringing hope to hopeless situations. Well, yeah, then at some point somebody might go, that's amazing, what drove you to do that? And then Jesus does his stuff through us. But let's just all stand together and just for a few moments. Let's just between us and God, just tell him what's on your heart. And then the things that he may or may not have stirred up in you this morning, well, just chatting through with him. If you need somebody to pray with you, you know, there's some great guys around, just grab somebody, that's good. But really, this is just about us aligning our hopes, saying, yeah, do you know, I'm putting my trust in you, because you are the truth. Father, I just want to thank you this morning that you are worth putting our hope in. I thank you that the hope that we have, who we are in you, in what is to come, is just amazing. And I just pray that in this room this morning, that for every one of us, Lord, that we would have even more of a certainty about what the Word of God says, and a certainty that everything that it says is absolute truth. Lord, I pray for anybody here this morning who is or has been just struggling to really believe some of the truths that the Bible says about them as individuals. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that there would be a real release here this morning. I pray that you would do something that just enables us to align our spirit with you. To say, yeah, I don't have to get it, I have to understand it. Thank God that I'm not God, therefore I don't need to understand everything. But I do pray, Lord, that you would give us more understanding and insight. Lord, we want to be a people in this place who are strong and secure in you and in your truth. We want to be people who impart hope and love to the world around us. And I pray that you would stir something up in us. Lord, I pray, I know, Lord, as we've been praying, you'll just be highlighting and be highlighting areas that people just need to stand up and interject more into. I just thank you. I thank you that there's so much to be excited about. I thank you for all that you do and all that you're doing. And Lord God, we love you. We love you this morning. And we honour you. And we want to make it all about you. And we're excited. Lord, we're excited about what's to come. Good. So everybody excited this morning about what's to come? Yeah? We're gonna end on a real positive note this morning. We're just gonna end with a little bit more worship, but let's really celebrate who we are in Him and what's to come. Is that okay? Good.